Do you want to sing first? Mike, stop.
Nah, not tonight. I don't think I could do it tonight. Oh, me. Well, I seen where my wife was telling me that where a bunch of people at the parade this afternoon, and I know that probably some of the children in the morning are going to come wake up in the morning with a cold, sore throat. But, you know, I think they can pick about a time than 3 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, we were discussing it at the house, and there was one place of business that I think they was going to try to have it on a Saturday afternoon or something like that, but there was one place of business downtown, and he wouldn't close for them to be able to have it because he's right there on Main Street and everything. So, but you know, you can't blame him because he's in business. That's what he's there for. He's in business, and he don't open up on Sunday. So, you know, and I admire him for that. But sometimes I wonder if they just don't plan things properly, I don't think. But which I probably wouldn't either if they called me down and asked me to do the plan, and I'd probably ain't no telling what I'd do. I mean, I'd have his plan, so I mean they'd have colds and sore throat, and they'd probably have chiggers in the dead of one. Oh me. All right. For a few minutes tonight, let's just turn into the book of Psalms, chapter 126. And I'm going to read all 6 verses. But basically, the message is going to come from verse 5 and verse 6. It's where the main part's at. And what I'm looking at tonight is the promises that we can see here in God's Word, and which is not just here in this one or couple verses or this one chapter, but it's all through God's Word that it's all the promises that God gives the Christians, workers, the ones that He has saved to work for Him. That's the reason He saved us. So we would go out and share the gospel with other individuals, and we may be able to share it in a way that they can be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, because we have experienced that. And I would not want to go back to the life that I was living before, even though it wasn't a life of all the corruptness that's going on and the way people are living today, that just goes about and they'll go out and murder somebody or rob somebody or do this or that and everything. But even though what life that I did live, to me at that time, I thought that I was a pretty good individual. But you know something? Being a pretty good individual and being somebody that don't go about trying to break the law or anything like that, you know, that does not get me into heaven. I had to trust Jesus. And in trusting Jesus, then he gave me his promises in his word. As a Christian, that if I would go and if I'd work for him, and excuse me, some people say, well, I can't see doing all of that. I can't see me going out and working an 8-hour job and or 10 hours a day and 5 days a week and then spend my off time and going out and visiting people and stuff. I can't see that. I mean, I just don't need to do it. But if they got that type of attitude, I don't believe they ever got saved. But he has saved us to work for him. And I've even had people tell me at times, say, well, what are you going to do that for? Do you get any pay for it? I says, no. And I know the church gives me what you can afford, and you do. And I thank you for that. But you are not paying me to do God's work. You are paying me, the church is giving me a love offering to where I can come and maybe to encourage you and to help you to go on and not allow other people to hinder your work. And everything, and all these things. But even though, if I had to go out here and depend on the Lord Jesus giving me a salary to where I could go out and visit people and stuff like that, it's not. How could I justify and going to Him and say, "Well, Lord, I need this much money. I need this and I need that." You can't, nobody, if they think about it, if they really think about it, I mean, the pastor of the church, the preacher, the evangelist, whatever, if they think about it, they cannot put a price on it. Because what are they doing? They're putting a price on a living soul. They're putting a price on an individual that is hurting. They're putting a price on their sadness, on the things that they don't understand. They're putting a price. How can anybody can justify putting a price on something like that? You can't. If you really get down to it and think about it, you cannot come up with a price. You can't. Because what did Jesus do? Jesus gave the ultimate price. He died. Some people say, no, he didn't die. They say, no, he didn't die. I said, well, who was in the grave? Who hung on the cross? Then they'll come back and they've asked you or asked me, says, well, how do you know that there was a cross? How do you know that there was a man hanging on a cross? They are the people that's ignorant because they don't know anything about the Word of God. And we have some Christians that is like that also. I know of some that don't understand any of that, and they're still babes. They're still on the sincere milk, talking in the book of Peter. They don't want to get off of that. Because they know if they get off of their milk, then they know that they're going to have to get in there and they're going to have to dig a little more to really get fed. Because they haven't got down to the point of it in the meat of the word. Where's the meat of the word at? It's when we get down in the Bible and we read and we understand it in a way that will help us as individuals there and help us in what we do. Help me to be able to walk closer to the Lord, that the word can help me in teaching me this and that. That if I do this, that it's wrong. And if I do, that, and then it's wrong, then what is the meat of the word is over there in 1 John 1:9. And it's telling me that if I will take the word of God and if I will eat it, and if I will chew on it, and if I will gnaw on it a little while, then I will be able to understand the verses. And what can I understand from John 1:1? I mean, 1 John 1:9. What can I understand from that verse? Yeah, I can get in there. When I first saw it, I read it. And then I started meditating on it. Instead of started eating it, started chewing it, started gnawing on it. And what did it end up telling? It ended up telling me that I must go to Him. That I had to go to Him and confess the sin that I've committed. I had to go to Him. That's the meat. The way I wanted to get a hold to that could help me to grow. But people don't want to get in because they feel like if they get into it, and they get down into where they have to get down to the meat of it, then they're going to have to change. They're going to have to change their own life, their own style, their own way of living. They're going to have to change. They cannot change enough to suit the Lord. They cannot change enough to be able to satisfy the Father in heaven that where allowed His Son to go to Calvary. That's some of His promises that He has through His Word that will help us as individuals to walk closer to Him. And yes, and I need a closer walk with Him, not just today, but I need a closer walk with Him tomorrow, the day after, next week, next month, next year. I need a closer walk every time that I rise out of the bed. My prayer is that I should say, Lord, help me to be able to use these legs to go where You want me to go, that these legs will follow You. And Lord, and help me that I may allow my eyesight, the eyes that I have, and what vision You have given me, that I can look upon Thy Word. And I can look at Your beauty that You've created, I hear. And Lord, that You will allow me to be able to open my ears up into the sound that You have for me to hear. To be able to see what's going on and hearing what is going on in the music of the chirping bird, the birds I hear as they holler, as they chirp, as the animals I hear, as they speak to one another. Allow me to be able to hear that. I don't understand what they're saying, no. But I can hear and what is coming from their beak, from their mouth. I can hear that. And I can hear other people praising the Lord. That I can be able to hear them thanking Jesus for what he's done for them. And one of the other senses is that I need the Lord to touch these hands. That these hands will not touch anything that will defile me, that will bring me down in my Christian life, in my Christian walk. That he'll touch these hands, that the only thing that these hands will handle is the Word of God. All the promises, that's some of his promises. But here in Psalms 126, and I'm going to read all six verses. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathens, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4 says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the stream in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The promises that he has given the Christian, the workers, that he has so gratefully allowed us to be a part of. He hasn't just come about and just allowed us to be able to have what is there for us in the taking, because it's there. It's there. It is there. All his promises is there. They're there. And I don't have to wait for him to give me them promises. Them promises there for me for the taking. Them promises are there for you for the taking. But sometimes it may be that we have to do a little something for the promises. Because I know that God's Word, when he speaks to us in a way, we don't understand it sometimes, the way he speaks to us, because we're not listening to him. We are listening to our intellect, our own thoughts, and our own mind, and what we want and the way we want the promises to work. But we have to realize some things. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he is thinking about the very best for me. He's thinking about the very best for you. He's not gonna allow something to come upon me that would harm my Christian walk. He's not gonna bring something upon you that it will harm you to where you won't serve him like you know you need to serve him. That's not the kind of God that we serve. We serve a loving God. We serve a God of wrath, and we serve a God that knows all things. We serve a God that's everywhere. We serve a great big God. He's bigger than anything I know. He's bigger than this universe that I live in. He's bigger than life itself. Why? Because he conquered the death that he focused on back then, to where he could have life once again. And he could be able to help the people that he was trying to help back then. But even the people back then wouldn't even listen to him. They walked with him. They talked to him. They spoke with him. They even went to the mountain. They even went into the woods there and prayed with him. They even went there and they allowed him to pray. And they was on guard. Well, other people wouldn't come in and disturb him as he was praying. They was there for him. They was there with him. But they did not hear what he was saying. They just seen what he was doing. And yes, and they heard some portion of what he was saying when he speak to him. And he would say to him, he said, "Well, you stay here. You stay right here while I go up yonder, and where I can go up yonder and pray to the Father." And when he went up and he prayed to the Father, he did not say anything about, "Father, touch me the way my will be done." No, he said, "Father, that your will, that the Father's will be done." And we need to pray the same way. We need to pray the same way. We need to pray in a way that like if I'm praying, and if I'm praying for an individual, I need to close the prayer out in a way to where I don't receive no glory and I don't receive no praise for it, that all the praise and all the glory goes to God the Father. We see right here in verse 5. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." What he's saying here is that if we will just come and obey the Lord, and we just come to an old-fashioned altar, and we would take the tears that we have that is embedded and that is in our tear ducts, and we would allow the tears to flow for the individual. But for that to happen, we have to realize that we have to think about what that individual's going through. We have to think about that, yes, they're going through the rest of this day without the Lord. They're walking in this life alone. They're hurting. And we need to be able to, one, to be able to come back to an old-fashioned altar and sow the seed for that person. And if we'll sow that seed with the right motive, then the tears will come back. The tears will flow out. And when they flow out, then the Lord will say, son, daughter, that's what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for your heart to open to the individual and what the individual is going through. We may not know the exact thing that they're going through. We don't need to know any of that, because God knows all about it. But what he asked us to do is to come and to sow the tears for the individual. And if we go and if we sow the tears for the individual, there's going to come a morning that we're going to be able to wake up and we're going to be able to reap all the joy and all the praise that he has for us. Why? Because we've done what he's asked us to do. If we just come and do what he asked us to do, then we will reap the joy. That's just like the psalmist David. That's the reason the psalmist David, that's the reason he lost his joy, because he would not heed into what God was saying to him. God told him to go to the front of the line in the battlefield. But no, what did he do? He sent someone else in his place. And then you know the story of what happened, that he sinned against God. But see, after he sinned against God, he knew, he figured out something that he did not have, that he had a week before that. And that was joy. There was something that was bubbling up inside of him. And he didn't have it no more. That everything inside of him was just drying up. So that's when he, and I believe, is through him by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit spoke to him, I believe. That's when David had his prayer and he was talking to God. He did not use no big fancy words. We have people today that will come and they will stand in the pulpit and they will stand up here and they'll pray. And yes, they will. The people can hear how intelligent that the individual is. And they can tell how far the individual went to school, how far they went in college because of their intellect. Because they use the big fancy words. The big fancy words are not going to reach God no quicker than the one or two little simple words. So when David prayed, he asked God, he said, God, I know that I've sinned against you. And he did not ask God to restore his salvation because he was still saved. But he asked God to restore unto him the joy that he once had. That's what he needed. He needed to have the joy. And we cannot have the joy if we're not doing something for him. We have to be doing it for him. And we have to have the right motive in doing it. As far as me, myself, I don't care if anybody ever remember me, remember my name. I don't care if they remember who I am. I don't care if they remember where I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. I don't need them to remember all of that. Only thing I want them to remember is the name of Jesus in his love. That's the only thing I want them to remember. Because if they can continue to think about the word Jesus, I don't think you can think about it every day and then not eventually do something about it. Verse 6, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bearing precious seeds. What is it saying? It's when I'm and when you. It's sharing the word of God with individuals. It's a precious seed. Why did it become precious? Because God wanted it to be something special for the individual. That's what God wanted. God wanted his precious seed to be special for individuals. I love him tonight more than I ever have before. I don't know what I would do without him. I believe if I had to walk another day, if I had to walk one more day, and the Lord was not even in my existence, was not even with me at all, I believe that you would probably pick up the paper. And you would probably read, well, in the obituary column, Don Stewart Mahan, born 1950. He died at the age of 66. I would have been committed suicide because I don't think I could walk a day without it. Can you, Emily, can we walk another day without him like we did before? I can't.
I don't want any contrite. I don't want to. I want him to be right with me. I want him to be beside me. I want him to be holding my hand. And I'm walking behind him. He's got a hold of my hand. I've got a hold of his. And it's a grasp by him. And I can feel his hand. Walking with him, and he's walking with me, hand in hand. Some people will say, "Oh, that's foolish. That's foolish. What? You're a grown man. You believe all of that?" I sure do. That's the reason somebody can say that I'm a grown man. An individual that will not say that and cannot even say that at all, as far as I'm concerned, and I believe I can take God's word and back it up. It takes me some time to look it up and find the right scripture for it. Call the individual out. And I said, "You know something? You're taller and you're bigger than I am. You have more muscles than I have. But you are the weakest between me and you. You are the weakest because you're nothing but a wimp. Wimp. We have too many wimps today that don't want to shed no tears. They don't want to come to the altar. They don't want to weep over their loved ones. They don't want to come and weep over their co-workers. They don't want to come and weep over the individual across the road that they don't even know anything about. And people in the back, in the church seat, snickering on the inside, saying, "Looking at that individual. Look at what they're doing. They're up there crying. Oh, somebody that they don't even know." I've heard people say that. I've heard them say it in the pews. I don't like to see that. I don't like hearing that. Because they could be in the same position also. They need to thank the good Lord that He did save our soul. They need to start giving him the right place in their life. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. And Father, we thank you for your precious word. And Father, we ask God tonight, Lord Jesus, that you will allow each one of us to be able to take your word home with us. Father, that we can be able to meditate upon it. And Father, yes, that we can be able to gnaw on it. And we can be able to eat upon it, Father, so we can become stronger Christian for you, Father. That we will not be weak anywhere at all, Father. We will not just bow down to the pressure of the world that we come against, Father. The Lord, that the world and the world that we're in, Father. Yes, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And Lord, we just thank you for that. But Father, as we're in the world, Father, we pray, Lord, that the world will not hinder us from lifting you up. Because Father, you need to be lifted up more today than you ever have before in our lifetime. And Lord, we do thank you.
And we love you because it's in this name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.